Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. We've been going through a series on the book Scent, which is all about missiology. And we've been talking about how we as Christians, we've been sent by the Lord Jesus himself to make dedicated disciples to help fulfill the Great Commission. And we believe at CSRM, one of the best contexts for that to happen is in the local church, very specifically through Sports Rec and Fitness Ministries. And so I'm joined with Scott Stedman and Dr. Greg Linville. And Dr. Greg, you did a great job last time of kind of setting up where we're going to go today. We started to kind of tease the difference between what the typical church or typical sports ministry would call a volunteer versus somebody who feels empowered to be a local missionary. And so if you could help us to define what a coach should really look like within our leagues, I think it's a great place for us to pick up. So fire away.
Again, great to be with you guys. And yeah, we're asking local congregations to really consider just changing even their terminology. And that, yes, you recognize that they're volunteers. And might I add that you need to do the kinds of things that would appropriately appreciate and honor them. Give them some gifts, give them some accolades. They are volunteering, but one of the best things you can do for them is to raise their own understanding and expectations of what they're engaged in and who they are. Because if I'm just volunteering down at the rec center for the church, I'll do that, and that's a good thing. But if I'm involved in an eternity-changing process, there can be nothing more important that I do. And that's what we're really helping people try to understand, that they are, yes, they are volunteers, but they are volunteering to be local missionaries. They have the opportunity to reach people that they go to school with, that they work with, that live next door to them, and even their own family members. They get a chance to introduce them to the Lord of the universe and spend eternity in heaven with that person, Jesus. So it's, yes, volunteering, but it's so much more. So in order to do that, here's a few things we need to change. The local church needs to change their approach. We need to change our approach in these ways. Change in purpose. It's not just to run a league. It's not just to coach or referee a game. It's not just to teach a fitness class. The purpose is that all of that's important and cannot be downplayed. And in fact, churches get in trouble if they don't do sport and fitness well. You got to do it well. There's a difference between doing a vacation Bible school with a ball, which is all good. It's a good thing. But it's different than doing a league with a Bible. And I think you'll understand that. So what is the purpose? This is not just to create activity for kids or adults. It is to lead people to Jesus and help them understand how they can compete, how they can compete in the image of Jesus, Christmanship. That leads then to the change in recruiting. You're not just saying, hey, raise your hand and come and volunteer. No, recruit. Come and change somebody's eternity. Come and change somebody's life. Come and be a local missionary. And that changes the terminology. You're not a volunteer, you're a local missionary. The third change is change in terminology. The third change is then in training. Yes, you have to train them well. How to teach the fundamentals of their sport. how to make sure that no one is going to get injured in a fitness class, or that everybody's safe during a bird watching course that you're taking. I say that a little facetiously, tongue in cheek, but you get what I'm saying. And yes, that is important training. But if that's the only training that you do, if you don't train people on how to sense when somebody is ready to open their lives to Jesus, how to lead them. Some use what's called the Roman road. You use passages in the letter to the Romans that would help people understand what coming to personal faith in Jesus means. Whatever it is, however you do that, you've got to train them in that. And then train them, if a person is evidencing some interest in this or has even prayed a prayer, professed faith in Christ, what's the next step? How can they then get involved in the next step? That would hopefully be baptism. In some traditions, that might be a confirmation of an infant baptism. I don't want to have that derail us, but if there's a public confession that's often done with baptism, and Scott, I said that for your favor there, being in that Methodist church that baptizes those kids. You know, we just don't want anybody mad at us. But I think even the Methodists would say to us that there needs to be a public confession of it. And then you're training the people. And after that, what's the next step? How do you get them involved in a Bible study? How do they start praying? It's a whole discipleship process. And so we change the training of our local missionaries. And then we change the recognition that this isn't just somebody that shows up, but they're actually commissioned in front of the whole congregation on a Lord's Day morning or evening, that there's an actual commissioning that goes on. And then there's a change in our accountability. How are these people held accountable? Are they really doing both? Are they doing the best they can do in how they coach the sport or lead the fitness class? But not to the exclusion of doing the spiritual. And so this is what we need to do. And just to summarize it, this is evangelistic disciple making. This is our vision now that has become a mission. And we need to change these things in order to send the people. Your guys' thoughts? How's my Methodist doing?
Yeah, Scott, if you want to fire back at Greg, you feel free.
It's like I always say this. I think I say this every episode. It makes sense. Like, it all makes sense. It's very important that we have to disciple. We have to commission. We have to make sure that there's an accountability process. And, you know, I think about, you know, I even think about just the apostles and even how Jesus, you know, even though Jesus was teaching them, he was walking, doing life with them. And same thing, when you had the disciples, they weren't going out by individually, they're going out in groups of two, three or more to encourage other churches, to encourage one another. So there has to be that training, commissioning, and accountability that's really going to help shape people who are coming into Christ through your ministry to be lifelong followers of Jesus. And again, it all goes back to what is the purpose.
Yeah. I would say a couple things. One, whatever kind of bird watching you're doing, Greg, that is dangerous, I don't want to be a part of that. And secondly, and this is the challenge for myself too, if we feel like we're just so desperate for volunteers, we'll take a warm body because we need to fill spots in church, right? And we don't get to the training because we're so busy doing everything else. Well, then maybe we need to stop doing a few things so that, and again, I'm speaking for myself here too, so that we can equip Ephesians 4, the saints, to carry out the works that they're supposed to do. I think sometimes we definitely underestimate what God can do in the life of a changed believer who really grabs a hold of this, especially after we train them. if you get somebody who's on fire for Jesus because they know Jesus has radically transformed their life, and so they want to do whatever they can, and they've been commissioned and they've been trained properly beyond just how to check off a roster, right, and make sure that the kids are showing up. But they're trained within that particular sport or fitness class, but also trained on how to make a dedicated disciple. I think we would be pleasantly surprised to see second and third generation disciples being made because we took the time and we shifted our focus and we redefined our purpose as somebody running a ministry to know, hey, this all filters down. I think we would be so surprised to see so many other disciples coming to know Jesus because we took the time to focus on what was more important. And sometimes that means we need to look at our entire league calendar over the entire year and say, all right, this isn't as important as the training, and slow down and pour into people and watch God work. So yeah, just I'm speaking to myself there, but just reading through that checklist, Greg, I think it really redefines how we use people.
Yeah, that's in turn of the last page of the book or the page of the chapters, page 74, there's a redefinition in its summary that a coach is concerned about winning games, but a missionary is concerned about winning souls. A coach contemplates athletic development. A missionary contemplates spiritual development. A coach envisions sporting strategies. A missionary envisions ministry strategies. A coach is a church volunteer serving a congregation. A missionary is a local church missionary serving to expand and enhance the church. So we ask the question, do you have volunteer coaches or commissioned missionaries? There's one last thing that I'd like to do in summarizing this chapter, and that is talking a little bit about how we redefine the Sports Rec and Fitness Outreach Ministries. It got started in churches hundreds of years ago. 1937 was the first time that a church group actually wrote a book, T.B. Maston did for the Southern Baptists. And so it started by having people that just came to the church and did their sports and recreation. And it was called sports and recreation ministry, often just recreation ministry. And it was basically for people in the church. But then what happened was that as the world moved away from the church, we recognized probably 30, 40 years ago. In fact, Dan, I think one of the guys that you worked with, one of our former board members there at First Christian Church, he said, we got to call it sports outreach. Mm-hmm. It's not just ministry for the people in church, but it's sports outreach. And the whole movement said, okay, let's go to sports outreach. But then what happened in our society is that it's become increasingly secular. And so people have moved not just post-Christian now, but now there's something that's even more profound happening in society. And that is that they are becoming post-secular as well. And unless we understand this, we're going to be hampered and hamstrung with our missiology. Let me explain just briefly. Mm-hmm. Being post-Christian means that people still believed that Christianity was the right way, even if they didn't adhere to it. But post-secular means that they disbanded Christianity as being the way to go at all, and it became totally secular. But now what we're seeing, particularly in the West, is that people who said, I'm no longer going to be religious, but I'm going to be spiritual and secular-based spirituality, what they're finding is that these stones or these aromas or these whatever they're into, they're not fulfilling. They may fill a gap a little bit here or there, but long term, they're looking for something much deeper. And so now we are having people who they don't want to be Christian, They thought just being spiritual was good enough, but now they're totally unfulfilled. And you know what's happening? Their lives are still falling apart because they're not following biblical mandates and biblical principles. And so what we in the sports outreach community have is an ability to reach those who are post-secular and helping them to understand that spirituality without the Holy Spirit is going to lead to another dead end. That's where we are, and that's where we have to redefine our mission today. We have to redefine who we are being sent to. Go back a couple podcasts ago. Missionaries have to go, but missions really have to do with being sent. So who are we sending to go to reach the secular, spiritually minded person, but not Holy Spirit minded person? Your guys' thoughts?
It's an important question. I think really reevaluating missions in general. I think I see a lot of churches going through that process. And Greg, we think if we want to reach those people who are dabbling in spiritual things but need to know biblical spirituality, and like you said, having the Holy Spirit, we know the effectiveness of sports, rec, and fitness ministries. Like this is a great opportunity for us to reach people groups that are just hard to reach for a variety of reasons. They may not trust the church or whatever. But they're open to playing a sport. They're open to being led through a good fitness class. We live in a crazed culture with all of those things. So there's opportunities there. But again, like I said earlier, I think it's pausing to think all this stuff through. It's having these conversations because you can't redefine things or evaluate things unless you take the time to actually do so. But so many of our churches and so many of our sport at rec and fitness ministries, we're so busy, we don't take the time to really reevaluate. So I guess I'm back on that focus right now. But that's kind of what I see here is we have to take the time to really evaluate in order to be more effective.
Well, I think we'll go into the next chapter of the book next time, and we're going to be there talking about who are these leaders and do we have funding and do we have overall tie into the local church? There's some very practical things that now that we've got these people who are local church missionaries and they're sent, then how do we incorporate it into the overall congregation? Very, very crucial. And this is where a lot of our people are saying, oh man, this is so specific. This is what I really need. So that's where we're headed.
Yeah. And Greg, you used a great word, I think, for us to end on. And also just to kind of remind people of the purpose of these podcasts, it's the word practical. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Greg just used that word as a tease for our next episode, and you don't want to miss it. But I just want to encourage you, as you use these podcasts, here's a couple different things that you could try. One is take this podcast and watch it or listen to it with your current coaches, your current volunteers that you want to transition and redefine into somebody who's a local church missionary. Take it to your leadership. Have a conversation. Really ask the questions. Do we need to reevaluate the things that we're doing in order to be more effective? Don't use these podcasts, though, to replace the book. And so as you use the podcast, we encourage you, a practical way for you to continue on in some conversation is to purchase this book. You can do that through our website, csrm.org. And then maybe consider joining a regional roundtable or even forming one. We want to see you gather with like-minded people who are doing what you do. Nobody understands a sports minister like another sports minister. So gather up with people, watch these podcasts, read these books, and help evaluate and improve your ministry to make better dedicated disciples of Jesus. So we are here for you. We're all about relationships and resources. And so we just want to encourage you on the practical side of all those things. So on behalf of Scott Stedman and Dr. Greg Linville, I'm Dan Stover. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We'll see you next time. Take care.
The CSRM Podcast is a production of CSRM and their production house, Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Greg Linville is the executive producer, and Scott Stedman is the associate producer and editor. To learn more about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM Podcast is the flagship member of the podcast network Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio, or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV Radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.